Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
11-12 throwing the football so far. Goes down at the 30-yard line. Von Miller. This is Lindsey. Lindsey breaking through. 40. Finally bumped out at about the 20-yard line by Marcus Gilchrist.
Mike Nugent for the extra point.
Blocked. Third and goal from the one. Freeman. Straight ahead. Touchdown. Royce Freeman's first. Eat him with time. Lost it. Has a man open. Sanders for a first down Bronco. Lindsey now in motion. Keenum going to keep it and go for the end zone. He gets there.
That's not one I call till December, Trent. I don't put my quarterback in there until December on the book I call.
Keenum pulled offside. That is complete. First down yardage for Tim Patrick and Moore. Down the sideline and out of bounds.
I got a little worried when I saw him working to the middle of the field because I said, you take up too much time, you can't get everybody up there and spike it.
Yeah, when he took off running, this is a young receiver mistake. He's trying to score a touchdown. Get down, get the ball killed. He got lucky and got out of bounds. A heck of a block by the wide.
Brandon McManus on the field to attempt what would be a game-winning field goal from 36 yards out, well within his range.
By no means was that a perfect drive by Case Keenum. There were a couple of mistakes made during, but I love the way he kept his poise, even on that crucial third down, making the accurate throws as McManus comes up with a huge kick.
Victory!
And they stay there!
Ow!
And they stay there!
Ow!
And they stay there!
Up, down, up, down, up, down.
Since all I do is win, 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 win.
Win.
Win. Put your hands in the air.
Drive with us. It's a victory Monday.
Victory!
Stop with all that, you know, this, that, the other thing. Like the great Dick McPherson once said, when they barely snuck by Temple, a win is a beautiful thing. Doesn't matter how you get it. You put that W on the board, that's all that counts.
I tell you the truth.
They get paid, too. And the Broncos beat the Raiders.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get it up. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
Victory!
And they stay there.
Yeah.
Man, it's such a beautiful Monday, man. A nice warm, or should I say a nice hot Monday afternoon for the Broncos dub, man. Man, we only get 16 of these tries, and we've gotten two dubs in two attempts, man. To do anything except celebrate this is wrong, man. So, D-Mac, I'm going to leave that music right there and let it ride a little longer,
sure,
baby.
Listen,
you know, it feels good. It feels good to get the dub. Tell me you wasn't high-fiving everybody around you yesterday. When that field goal do, all we said is give me a win.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get it up. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
Victory! Johnny
Drama. And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say there.
Up, down, up, down, up, down.
Cause all I do is win, win, win. And if you're going in, put your hands in the air. Make them stay
My
there.
My friend. Where were you, man, when that field goal went through, man? Were you watching it live?
Yeah, of course.
Man,
of course, of course.
Who did you high five?
I was on my own at that point. My wife had left for a softball game. My son, he was a great athlete. He doesn't really care about sports. He's watching Grey's Anatomy on Netflix. I'm not lying.
Tell you what, man.
I was like,
what is that?
I got to admit, I wasn't jumping up and down? Because I expected them to do it.
I expected it, but when it happens, it always feels good, man.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
there's nothing like a come-from-behind victory in the fourth quarter. And once again, the great John Elway said the one thing that he forgot that all players need on game day is hope.
Keep hope alive.
You got to have some hope. You got to have some hope, man. If you don't have any hope that your guy can get it done, then, you know, it's a sad situation. And many times in the last couple of years, we knew that we were, that our guy wasn't going to get it done at the quarterback position. So to have Case Keenum come through for us again in the fourth quarter, 2 weeks in a row, I'll take that, man. It's called growth. You know what? Can we fix some things? Sure we can. And we'll talk about those things tomorrow. But there were too many good things that happened in that game, not to highlight how good I feel about this Broncos team and that win against the Raiders. The Raiders did a great job against us in the coaching department. They did a good job against us. And the one thing about early season evaluations is this. Usually in football, what we have is a four-game breakdown of teams where we get a real sense and a real feel for what a team wants to do on third down. And over a course of four games and that breakdown, and now you can call it six games now because our technology is better. Once you have a six-game breakdown of who this guy is calling an offensive or defensive play, then you have a better chance of game planning against them. But you got to remember now, this is John Gruden coming back to the NFL. We don't know anything about him. We don't have any history about him. And everything that he does is new to the NFL for the first, call it, three or four games. Because nobody has a book on him. Do we know about some of his past history as a coach in the NFL? Yes, but this guy's been out of football for a long time. So you don't know, did he put this wrinkle in? Did he put that wrinkle in? We know that he ran a Mike Shanahan type of offense, but at the same time, we don't know what he's trying to run right now. And the thing that John Gruden did that was fantastic in that game is that he started off and he did the exact opposite of what his personnel groupings was showing you. When they wanted to throw the football, they ran in two tight ends. When they wanted to run, they put out three wide receivers. So it was a contrarian game plan because everything that, you know, the personnel grouping told you did not match up to what happened. So for that, you know, we have to make some adjustments going forward, and we'll have to treat two tight ends now like it was, you know, no big deal because really you can't just blitz a three wide receiver set. Against a team like that, you got to go ahead and mix in some run blitzes so that you have the type of schemes that you need. Now, when you run in a two tight end set, man, you're going to have a cover three shell. And cover three means that basically there are going to be three areas deep that are going to be covered and your flats are going to be wide open. Listen, that's what you give up. That's what you give up. They kept doing it. They run two tight ends in the game. And with Marshawn Lynch, and y'all saw Marshawn Lynch. You saw Marshawn Lynch come into the game. Every time you put two tight ends and Marshawn Lynch in the game, tell me that doesn't feel like they're about to bust you in the mouth. Well, when they did try to run that scheme against our defense, we were great against it. But when they tried to throw it, we were not. Because the one thing about playing cover three is you can't let anything get over your head. They knew that. They had a good game plan for it. Derek Carr was on fire. And we found a way to get it done. And conversely, when they wanted to run the football, what they did is ran a three wide receiver set, and they made sure that the lanes were nice and big for Marshawn. He had some nice runs, but nothing that really killed us in one run. But he had some nice 7, 8, 9 yard runs that showed you that he was still a good quality running back. It was a good game plan from them, but ours was better because once we seen it and we knew the game was on the line, we got to stop, and we went down there and scored on offense, and that's all that really matters.
Marshawn Lynch, 18 carries for 65 yards, 3.6, a long of 11. Did have a touchdown in there, but, you know, they kept trying to go to him late. I know what they were trying to do. You know, they're trying to just run their 4-minute offense, and if they could have done it, they They would have won the game, but they couldn't. They came up short on that. The Raiders just fell apart in the second half because, well,
they didn't want to throw the football then because they didn't want the clock to stop, and that was to our advantage. You know,
they played conservative and it bit them in the butt eventually. And if you looked at most of, it's a funny stat line. Derek Carr, he was 29 of 32, but only for 288 yards. So he was check down Charlie for most of the game. Now he was accurate. And he made a couple of nice throws, including that second touchdown pass, which was just
a laser.
That was impressive.
That was pretty.
And if Smith, their fullback, catches the ball on fourth down, I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. Who knows what happens? They at least grind out more time. They grind. There's about 6 minutes, 5 minutes or so to go. If they get a first down, no matter what, they're talking about another 2 minutes and, you know, down multiple scores, it might have been a tricky deal, but you never know.
And by the way, on that play, initially, our talented rookie, Bradley Chubb, had the fullback covered in the flat. If he catches it, he still goes down if Chubb stays with him. But he started to retreat to try to find the deep crosser, and he let the guy go.
Wide open.
We had a defense. All he had to do was just stay there, but he dropped it for us anyway, and that gave us all we needed which was a chance. Sometimes in football, man, you just, you know, I try to explain this in the most delicate way, and Big Sexy and I were talking about it today. In this business, it is so incredibly tough to get a win. It is very, very tough to get a win in the NFL. And when you get a win, it makes everybody around the entire organization feel good. It validates the work that you did all week. All preseason, all OTAs, all back to the draft. You know, you got the right guys. So this thing is always a very emotional time period during these games early in the year when everybody feels like they have a shot. Come on, man. Really? The Cleveland Browns should be 2-0. The Cleveland Browns should be 2-0 right now. Early in the year, you have to make guys quit. And it's not a hard thing it's not an easy thing to do early in the year. Later in the year, it's much easier when things haven't gone well. But early in the year, everybody still believes that they can win, including the Raiders.
Adam Schefter will join us in just a couple seconds. There is other big news aside from the Broncos winning. Happening within the past hour, the Patriots acquire Josh Gordon in a trade. And we'll ask Adam for details about that. That's interesting, to say the least. Three different kickers are not kicking for the team they were kicking for on Sunday as the kicking carousel. So hats off to Brandon McManus, by the way. You know, I get it, it's a chip shot, but we were looking at other chip shots in the NFL that were missed left and right. So good on you, Brandon McManus. He had a stellar preseason. He had a stellar camp, and he's been perfect and so far in this season, which is great. Also, I just want to take my hat off real quick before we get to Adam, to Connor McGovern, who broke up a fight between Garrett Bowles and somebody else at a time that would have really been costly to get a 15-yard penalty. And Connor stepped in the way because
Bruce Irving.
Yeah. Connor McGovern gets an A in Football 101 that apparently is being taught on Fridays. I'm not sure what Garrett Bowles gets. Adam Schefter is brought to you by Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. Adam, good afternoon. Tell us about the Josh Gordon deal.
Well, basically, I think the Browns were shopping him all over the weekend. When they announced on Saturday night that they planned to release him on Monday, that sent a flare to the entire league. It was basically an advertisement that we are moving on from this guy, we are parting ways, and we are going to take your best offers for this guy, whatever they are. Come on and bid for him. And they really didn't have a lot of offers. They didn't have a lot of interest. They had enough teams talking to them. But the fact of the matter is that, as you see, the compensation was not very great. Okay. They were offered basically a situation where the Patriots traded a fifth round pick in 2019 to Cleveland, and the Patriots get back Josh Gordon and a seventh round pick if he's not active for 10 games. So if he's active for 10 games this year, the Patriots basically don't get back a pick. But they have a little bit of built-in protection. So the Patriots get Josh Gordon. The Browns get a fifth-round pick. And the Patriots also have to give a seventh-round pick if he's not active for 7 games or 10 games, 10 games. What numbers there? Sorry,
Adam. I'm always cognizant of what it means to win in the NFL after playing in Cincinnati for 4 stinking years and not having a chance to win. You know, it feels like when you get a win, sometimes it's just not good enough for some people. How hard is it to win in this league?
Well, you know that better than anybody, Alfred. And I think a lot of times you have to be in the right place. And, I mean, if you ask the people of Cleveland that question, they would tell you it's impossible. You can't win at all. And so it's a tough one. Certain places have a better handle on it than others. Certain organizations, as we know, are better run than others. Some places it's easier to win than others. And, you know, fortunately, Denver, it's 2-0, and Denver feels pretty good about itself right now. Things can change quick. We've seen other years where Broncos have gotten out to a real quick start and things went south in a hurry. And you'd like to think that they'll be good enough to overcome that this year. We'll find out. I'll say this, the Phillip Lindsay kid is impressive. That guy.
No doubt. Should have been drafted. Wasn't even invited to the combine, which is stunning.
It's hard to imagine. You know, I actually just hung up the phone with him for about 20 minutes. We taped my podcast for this week. And he's an impressive kid. I like him.
Yeah, the story is a bit ridiculous, too, Adam, with him going to a local high school, CU, and now with the Broncos. It's pretty insane. So, we've been aware of Phillip for a long time. And so, away you go. Antonio Brown.
Did you know, going into the season, that he was going to have this much of an impact?
We were all over draft him, take him, because
clearly our third down back.
We couldn't believe he wasn't invited to the combine. We've been talking about Phillip Lindsay we've literally been talking about Phillip Lindsay for years because of CU. So we thought he'd be a perfect fit for the Broncos. We just couldn't imagine he wasn't going to get drafted. We were shocked, actually. And, you know, the Broncos did actually draft a running back in the 7th round, David Williams, who is on their practice squad right now. So never mind just leaping over everybody. So we're big fans of Phillip Lindsay, and you had time to talk with him. I'm sure you saw what a nice young man he is. And yeah, so future is bright. Antonio Brown, how serious is this?
Oh, come on, D-Mac. You're talking about the trade thing?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you think that's his way of asking for a trade?
You tell me.
I don't think that at all. I think that you got an emotional guy that just lost a game, that always wants the ball more, that didn't get the ball as much as he wanted yesterday, that would like to get more of that ball and didn't. And so when somebody says you wouldn't do anything without Ben, he responds the way he does and says, trade me and find out. But again, I don't think that's his way. His passive-aggressive way of asking for a trade, if that's what you're implying.
Well, I saw the comments and I saw the reaction on the sideline with his offensive coordinator. I get it. The guy's emotional. It's got to stop. But I want to ask you about something that is brewing in the NFL, and that is the Jacksonville Jaguars are for real. And what they've done is that they've gone out and really, I mean, they really embarrassed the Patriots yesterday. They were never in that game. And it seems like the Patriots lose one like this every year, so I'm not going to count them out, but I'm certainly counting Jacksonville in.
Oh, they are ferocious. And I spoke to some Patriots people today, and they're like, the weather down there was just suffocating, which doesn't excuse the way the New England played. I just think that Jacksonville's defense is that good, that strong, that tough. And if Blake Bortles can play the way he did yesterday, I don't think anybody's going to beat them. I really don't. Mm. Now, I don't know that Blake Bortles is going to play like that on a week-to-week basis. But if he does, they're going to be very tough to beat. And if you go back to the AFC Championship game last year, they had a real chance to win that game, beat New England, and get to the Super Bowl. And they really gave the game away in the 4th quarter. You know, to New England's credit, New England stormed back. But they had a real chance to win in New England, which is something that not many teams have done. They went out this offseason. They probably got better. And now they've beaten the Patriots head-to-head. So New England's got to finish with a better record than Jacksonville, or it's going back to Jacksonville in the postseason to have to beat the Jaguars there.
Hey, Adam, let me ask.
That's not going to be easy. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Have the Patriots gone too far with releasing their veterans, letting their great players go? Last night I'm watching Nate Solder played for the New York Giants, and I'm thinking that team can't be better without Nate Solder. Of course, you know, the Patriots are notorious for getting rid of great players, it seems, while they're in their prime. Has it? You think that this is caught up with them now?
Well, I think that at one position, it's come back to bite them a little bit. That's a wide receiver. Danny Amendola went to Miami. Brandon Cooks was traded to the Rams. Julian Edelman was suspended for 4 games. Malcolm Mitchell, a draft pick, didn't make it. He flamed out. I think they've had some players at that spot in particular who have missed, and it hasn't worked out for them the way that they would like. And because of that, now they have to go out and trade for a guy like Josh Gordon, who's enormously talented today. But Tom Brady's in the latter part of his career. You want him to have great weapons. And he's had some really strong weapons to work with throughout his career. But right now, I think that there is a how do I say this? They are they're not as talented as they've been at that spot in other years. I'll say it that way. And it's certainly not until Julian Edelman comes back.
Adam, have you ever, in all your years, seen anything like Vontae Davis retiring at halftime?
I once had to talk Alfred Williams at a retiring at halftime when he played for the Broncos. But
you remember that, huh? I can't believe
that. Whoa, what?
I can't believe you remember that,
Adam. Wait a second. What happened?
I remember. Let's tell should we tell D-Mac the full story?
Go ahead and tell the story,
What's
man.
The story?
No, that was a joke,
one
dude.
One time.
Oh, okay. Jeez. It's really Adam, it's Alfred.
I was going to say, one time I got paged in the press box. And I had to go down and tell Alfred, don't retire. It'll be a terrible story. And he stayed. He played, finished, and he helped the team win a Super Bowl.
What a guy.
You know, I was going to have D-Mac biting on that, Alfred. Come on, Alfred. Come on.
Adam, we are talking about Alfred, okay? You know, no, Vontae Davis, I mean, did he... It takes a long time to take all your tape off. I mean, did he... what did he... what exactly happened here?
Look, I mean, I think that obviously had been on his mind. His body had taken a physical toll. I'm not excusing his behavior. I'm just trying to explain it. And they come in, they're getting their butt kicked. And I think it was just one of those emotional moments that a player has. I'm done. I've had enough. And I can't even fathom going back out there for 30 more minutes. Now, again, that's not the way that most people, almost all people, would handle it. It's the way he did it, though. Okay? Like, most people would finish the game and go Monday morning and say, I'm done. He didn't do it that way.
It's remarkable. Okay, just when you thought you'd seen everything. Adam, anything else we should be aware of before we let you go? Anything else that's brewing?
There's always stuff brewing.
Good day to be a short kicker, Adam. How's your kicking abilities? Can you knock one in for 50?
That's a lot of kicking changes in the NFL today. I mean, that's crazy. The Vikings signed Dan Bailey. The Browns signed Greg Joseph after they cut their guy Zane Gonzalez.
All right.
The Rams signed Sam Finken, who they've had in camp before. Who's kicked for them, and now they have a new kicker because Greg Zuerlein's out. So it's a lot of activity.
All right, you know, actually, really quick, do you think there'll be a reconsideration of overtime?
You know what? We were talking today about this in NFL Live. Why don't they just make it like a college playoff?
I said the same thing yesterday. Same thing.
That's so exciting.
It's right.
It can be 3 plays that get done, right?
Everybody will love it, and you'll never have a tie. You'll just keep playing the overtimes. It'd be fun. And it'd be great TV. It's the overtime now on TV is terrible. It's boring. I mean, relatively, you know. But
I think they should adopt the college system. We'll go on a crusade about that. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Adam. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Adam Schefter, brought to you by Rocks Heating and Air. Do you agree, Al? Overtime in NFL should be like the college overtime.
No.
All right. Big Three is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number Three Diner and Bar.
Story number one, Al was VJ throwing Joe Woods under the bus. Listen to this.
You know, you want to start faster. I thought yesterday defensively that we didn't play aggressive enough in the first half. You know, and that's on me. You know, I mean, this offense obviously poses problems because they come in with a lot of different weapons, a lot of different matchup issues. And I thought defensively that we were too cautious about number 30, number 12, number 87, number 89, the running back. So we played way too cautious. You know, our defense is based on rushing five, playing press man coverage. In the first half, we didn't do that. And it showed we're really non-aggressive, and they took advantage of us. In the second half, we got more aggressive, and it showed, and we played better. But that's on me.
Is it, Al?
I think he was explaining how he felt about the situation, but I think he was telling Joe Woods, this is not the way we play. You know, he did it in a very public way, but I do believe that that's the way that you communicate your message. Like, this is who we are. This is the way we always play, and this is the way we need to play.
That was directed at Joe Woods, correct?
That was.
Okay.
We need you to be in tune and not worry so much. We have playmakers too.
Should VJ just take over defensive play calling from Joe Woods?
I thought we were 2-0.
Okay, so yes or no?
No.
What happened, do you think, in the second half?
Well, I think we got some valuable stops. And
was VJ taking over more of the play calling in the second half?
I don't know.
Half?
I didn't see the sideline yet, so I don't know. I can't see if he's signaling or if he's calling. I couldn't see. But I can tell you this.
So, no, you keep Joe Woods and you just...
No, Joe Woods is doing a fine job with 2-0.
Joe Woods got spanked today, and you just try
Listen,
to get
man,
better.
Listen, man, we're 2-0. I'm not talking about coaches getting fired or losing responsibilities after you are 2-0 with solid performances all departments.
Why did he say what he said today, then?
I think he was frustrated that we couldn't get them off the field. And so... I told you to start the show about the coverages that they forced us into because of the fear that the big play could hurt us. And you don't want to let Marshawn Lynch get going, so you have to bring that eighth guy in the box. So it forces you to play a different type of coverage. Either you're going to play press man and bring the fire, or you're going to play a cover three shell. Those are only two options.
All right, bongos.
Three!
Today, so far, week two in the NFL, Philip Lindsay of Denver South is the third leading rusher in the NFL. I want to repeat this. Today, after 2 weeks of football, Philip Lindsay is the third leading rusher in the NFL. And he could be number one if he had 7 more yards. Is this the kind of surprise that every team is looking for?
Yeah, okay, sure. I mean, you'd love to have an undrafted guy make an impact on your team. And I watched the Bills-Chargers game in detail today. And the same thing I'm seeing out of Phil Lindsay, I'm seeing out of Austin Eckler. Frankly, it's the same thing I'm seeing out of Christian McCaffrey. So the guys are out there. They're out there. And Eckler is... Christian had a great day, although they lost. San Diego won, and Eckler looks just like Lindsay. So they're there, Alfred. They're there. Yeah, it's a dream come true. Unfortunately, it's not a dream come true if you're drafting running backs, you know, because your evaluation falls a little short, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, Philip Lindsay is number three. Saquon Barkley, the NFL's number two draft pick, is number 9.
Yeah, I would never draft. I've read a long, detailed article about the Giants about how they blew it in the draft. And they never should have taken Saquon Barkley, which is what we were screaming about.
Oh, he's a fantastic player.
Because taking a running back, especially with Eli Manning being 37, a rich draft of quarterbacks, they as much as, you know, as good as he may be, you have to be, if you get drafted in that spot, Al, you can't have Philip Lindsay outperforming you. You've got to be that guy. And
it's early in the season, but
it's just very few running backs can, you know, sort of do that.
Speaking of it, man.
And the Giants just, you know, they blew it.
I tell you what, man. We can get to it later in the week, but Eli's done.
Yeah, duh.
Eli's done. I thought he could be a different guy. Man, Eli's done, man.
It was a terrible draft pick by the Giants under their circumstances. Bongos.
Three.
What would you tell Demaryius Thomas? 11 targets, 5 catches, a couple of big drops. What would you say to Demaryius Thomas today?
Big fella, we gonna need you. So strap it up. We're not gonna back down. Ball's coming to 88. Do you think?
You wouldn't tell him, Demaryius, you're going to take a lesser role. We need to get Cortland Sutton more involved.
No, you don't do that. All you have to do is just tell
you
him.
You did it to Devontae Booker.
Listen. You don't have to do that with Demaryius Thomas. You just don't throw it to him.
Okay. Bongos.
Three.
The Vikings. Welcome Dan Bailey. And they cut Daniel Carson. Mike Zimmer was asked, was it a tough decision? He said, did you see the game? And it's not the first time.
I knew the kicker was in trouble when Zimmer said, that guy just hits him all the time in practice. Like, he didn't even use his name.
Right.
He was just like, you know, that guy.
Listen, man, Daniel Carson is not the only guy, the fifth-round draft pick this year, to screw it up for the Vikings when it comes to kicking. Don't forget Blair Walsh, okay? The Blair Walsh experience, 27 yards to beat the Seahawks in the playoffs. Boom. Missed the kick. Got cut.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget Gary Anderson. 1998. We were going to be playing the Minnesota Vikings, except Gary Anderson missed the all-too-crucial field goal.
It was the first kick he missed all year.
Hey, listen, man. It's just something going on there in Minnesota with their kickers. I don't know what it is, but if you're going to change kickers every 2 years, I like it.
Okay. Bongos.
Three.
By the way, I love the Blair Witch Project reference right there. When we come back, time to hand out some game balls. That happens next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
All right, Alfred. Great game for the Broncos. They beat the Raiders. They go 2-0. Time to pass out some game balls. Who you got?
Do you remember when it first died?
Ah, this is a good one, man. But I think, every time you get a win, I think the quarterback should be in the conversation. But I'm going to give the game ball to the offensive line. I'm going to give this ball to the game ball to the offensive line. This offensive line has looked terrific in 2 weeks of playing football here for the Denver Broncos. I knew that they would be good, but when you have Valdir go out and things don't stop and you continue to play well and you continue to open holes, Phillip Lindsay is the third leading rusher in the NFL for good reason. He's got some nice holes to run through. He's making a lot of that happen on his own, by the way. But those initial holes are there in this offensive line. I'm giving them the game ball. What about you?
I will give a game ball to Tim Patrick.
You went out on a ledge there.
Well, I think he made a couple of great plays. He had a touchdown. I thought that was a touchdown. I certainly thought Cortland Sutton was a touchdown, too. But the play that he made by breaking inside and then moving outside was just brilliant. I mean, for a young guy to make a move like that, when most guys would have caught that ball and just run out of bounds, which would have made sense. But he saw that there was an opening, and instantly, he did that very much on purpose. You know, that wasn't like, you know, Bruce Arians, who I enjoyed on the broadcast, by the way. He didn't realize what Tim Patrick was actually doing. He saw space that he could move inside and then space that he could move outside. He did a brilliant job. And you hear the Broncos talking about football 101. And I'm glad they sit down on Fridays and in a big classroom setting and go over things. I think that's really, really smart. I think it was smart of Emmanuel Sanders to take the ball right back to the hash mark rather than just flip the ball. That does save you 4 or 5 seconds. There's no doubt the Raiders blew time on the clock. There's no doubt the Broncos benefited from being smart. There isn't a lot of other guys to give game balls to, but Tim Patrick in particular, to me, That was a absolutely huge play. And my other game ball would go to Brandon McManus for being nails. It was a blocked extra point by Shaquille Barrett that ultimately made the difference in this game. And I thought it was interesting the Raiders didn't go for two. I mean, I understood it because, you know, at 19, that's two scores. 18 is still just one score. But I thought for a second that might be worth it. That being said, I'll go with Tim Patrick and Brandon McManus.
Yeah, I just, you know, every time I look up, you know, I'm out, you know, and I think many times as football fans, we forget about last season and maybe seasons before. But come on, man, this offensive line, man, what they're doing right now, D-Mac, is incredible, man. The amount of time Case Keenum has to operate and the holes that they're opening up for this group of running backs. Man, I mean, it's just they're forcing their will on every team that they've seen now. That's two teams that we've seen, two teams that we've run for over 100 yards, and the quarterback has been clean. It's just impressive, man. It's just impressive.
Keenum was sacked one time.
I mean, but it was a good takedown by Bowles because of where he was.
I mean, there was a penalty on Paradis with the play away from him. There was the penalty on Bowles that put him at first and 20 from the 10-yard line on that two-minute drive.
Two penalties.
Bowles almost got in a ridiculously stupid fight.
Almost doesn't count, unless you're playing horseshoes.
But I like Billy Turner's effort, too. And Valdir, I think, unfortunately, he's in the concussion protocol now. And we talked about the fear we had with Valdir that it would be a series of injuries for him at some point along the line, and we may be starting that. However, Billy Turner looked pretty good.
He looked great.
And we know Elijah Wilkinson is out there, too, as a backup, and we may be okay in that particular position.
Oh, we are so much better. Come on, man. We are so much better than we were.
Well, we're certainly better without Menelik Watson, that's for sure.
That was a disaster. Or Schofield, for that matter.
Or Schofield, who's another disaster.
You know, so, I mean, I feel so much better about everything that we're doing. I mean, Case Keenum, if he makes a mistake, it's not because guys are just rolling around on him and, you know, it's a long day because, you know, the pass rush has been all over him. That's not true. That's not the case. Man, this offensive line is outstanding. It's outstanding, and it feels like quality football is being played up front on both the offensive line and defensive line. So I'll take it, man. It's always a good sign when your offensive line and defensive line are playing well because you have a chance to win every game.
Anything else?
Well, I just
anybody else you want to point out? You're in a very positive mood here today. Anybody else you want to pump up?
Well, what, you know, the guy that's 23rd in the NFL in rushing is Royce Freeman. Okay, we got a guy that's number three, and we got a guy that's 23rd. Royce Freeman on a third down and one, with a guy in his face for minus three. A little wiggle wiggle. A little wiggle wiggle. Boom, bounce it outside. Huge run. And don't forget that this guy is money around the goal line, man. The guy is just, I do feel good. I feel good about this team. I feel good about this team. When I told everybody that I have the Broncos going 10, 6, 11, and 5, everybody was like, you know, what are you talking about? You know, Vegas has them winning seven games. Vegas didn't see Philip Lindsay. Vegas didn't understand Royce Freeman and his ability to make those incredible runs in short order, man.
This is the sixth year in a row they've started 2-0, including last year where they finished 5-11 and the year before where they went 9-7. So what is the difference between this 2-0 and the past 2 years?
Case Keenum is the difference. You got to believe in your quarterback, man. If you don't believe in Case Keenum.
What kind of day did Case Keenum have yesterday?
I don't know. It could have been better. I'm going to tell you this. Okay. Okay, Cortland Sutton had two drops.
Mm-hmm, that's
okay.
True.
Demaryius Thomas had three drops.
Yeah.
You know, so it could have been a lot better. I mean, Tim Patrick, you know, dropped one for a sure touchdown. You know, Cortland Sutton, you know, stepped out of bounds on one. It could have been a lot better. You know, it could have been a lot better. It was good. It was good because we got the win. But what happens if, you know, Tim Patrick catches that ball? What happened if Cortland Sutton catches that ball? Now we're looking at you know, a much better day for our quarterback.
Oh, I think what happens in those particular circumstances is what we've been talking about all week. The Broncos blow the Raiders out, which, you know, they should have. You know, they're a much better team than the Raiders.
Man, I tell you what. The Raiders had a good game plan. You got to give them credit for that.
What was their game plan?
Their game plan was to do the opposite of what their personnel was showing you. Hey, three wide receivers means run. That's what they were telling you. Three wide receivers means run. And what offense does three wide receivers mean run? Well, only the Raiders. You know, John Gruden came out with a hell of a game plan. Two tight ends.
The game plan looks simple to me. It was like dink and dunk, make sure you don't get rushed by Von Miller and get rid of the ball quick.
But why?
Because of Von Miller.
No. But when they wanted to throw it, they made sure two tight ends were in the game.
Okay, they were protecting against the pass rush of the Broncos.
Is that really a brilliant
game plan against the Broncos?
Oh, it is. Because
Joseph didn't think so.
Oh, listen, man, listen.
He was critical of the way they play defense.
Listen, man, let me give you a story here.
Okay.
Okay. Two tight ends and regular formations. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we get a little football 101 going here.
Well, how about this? How about you give us the breakdown of football 101, your version? Plus, I know you were concerned about some snaps of some of the players and why people were playing for other people. We'll get to it. We'll get to all of it.
I'm finna say, because I'm ready.
All right. I'll get the chalkboard out.
The professor!
Football at 4 is next.